And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, this is Kyle, joined by Emmanuel.
Yeah, as I said, and this, dare I say, is the first show ever on WUSB where both of its hosts are wearing tuxedos at the same time.
But we each have a tuxedo, but yeah, we're both wearing tuxedos, and it is a monumental accomplishment. And a momentous occasion.
It is. But I mean, not this. There have been hosts that wear tuxedos, but never have there been two hosts wearing tuxedos at the same time. If I'm wrong, somebody please correct me, and I'm sure somebody will. But right now, both Kyle and I are wearing tuxedos.
Yes, we are.
There's no way to prove that, but it's true. You just have to take our word for it. The other thing you have to take our word for is that we're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean right now. Actually, we can reveal now why we weren't here last week, because last week, actually, we were also on the high seas. In fact, by the time you hear this, we will have already arrived where we're going.
Turns out, when you're on the high seas, things take a little bit longer than you might be accustomed to, and you have to plan accordingly, and including planning radio shows. So for us, that meant not being in the studio.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out actually as I'm speaking. But, last Tuesday we were in the middle of the ocean and we couldn't connect anything, so we couldn't send a show. So we did the show before we left, but we didn't want to tell people where we were because, well, that would spoil the surprise of us giving you a show from the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, which is where we are now, which by the time you hear this is not where we will be.
No, we'll be on land by then. Probably we'll have a rented car of some sort or other transports to report on. But in this case, we're on a ship.
Right, we're on a ship now. But wait, when you're hearing this, we're in a car. So we should be in a car now. We're still on the boat.
But we're not on the radio.
Oh, no. Well, then we did this wrong.
But we're still in tuxes.
No, start again. All right, this is another edition of Off the Wall. We should point out, we are on the QM2, which is the only ocean liner left in the world. And what that means is it's a big ship that is not a cruise ship. It can take cruises, but actually it's used to get from one place to another. People take it from one city, and they get off in another, and they don't come back. I mean, they might come back, but they don't come back, you know, as if they're taking a cruise. So basically, we got on the boat in Brooklyn, which is where it departs from, and we're due to arrive in Southampton in the UK in a few days.
Yes, and in other words, this is a transit line, a real bona fide transit line.
Imagine taking the LIRR. It goes about the same speed, about 25 miles an hour, and it'll get you there eventually, maybe.
Wow, you really have it out for them, huh? But you know what? We're far enough away that they can't get to us, but Maybe they've improved since then, yeah. And we're always saying good things about the LIRR and the kind staff and conductors who run that system. But unlike that system, this system runs on water
and love. Water and love. We've explained the boat. We explained why we're on the boat. We haven't explained why we're in damn tuxedos.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, there's this sort of, I don't know what it's a tradition. There's something about being on a ship, being on an ocean liner. And, it starts, I think, with the way it's run. And what I mean is the captain, you know, and the crew. They have all these maritime standards and stuff. And, well, over the years, many, many years, they've been running similar ocean liners. And in particular on this route that would be between the British, England, and sort of European side, I guess, and then the eastern side of the U.S., the span of the Atlantic. And what that means is there's been, I think, what is it, over 100 years of...
Since the middle of the 19th century, about 1840, I think.
Well, yeah, but in the modern sense, I would say 200 or 100 years of these particular types of ships, the ones that are made of iron and steel. But yeah, you're right. That's the original trade routes, the access to the American colonies. All of that history has this great maritime tradition. Well, fast forward to the modern sort of contemporary ocean liner. Well, you have a passenger ship. You have meals, and that begets a certain custom, and part of the custom is dining, and in this case, fine dining. And when you talk fine dining, you inevitably talk formal wear.
True, but the thing is, not every night is a formal night. Actually, to me, it is a formal night. Basically, you're expected to wear smart attire, and I don't always wear smart attire. But a smart attire is basically a collared shirt and a jacket of some sort. Okay, so on the formal nights, that's not good enough. You have to wear a tux. So we are currently dressed in tuxes. This is the second out of three formal nights that we have. And what that means basically is after sundown, you're not to be seen in certain parts of the ship unless you're wearing formal wear. You can go to other places. There's a place called King's Court you can go to. It's kind of like a mall. Food court.
Or retirement home cafeteria.
All right. Yeah, there's a lot of old people on the boat, I know, but they're everywhere, too. They're wearing formal wear. It's really cool to see them because they all have interesting stories, and they're all, like, moving around, and they know the ropes. We learn a thing or two from them.
Yeah, these are cool old folks. These are the types of folks that get around, they're going places, they're having fun, and boy, is it fun.
Plus, a lot of them are British, too, which makes it even better.
Yeah, well, the wry sense of humor and incredible stories. People who've lived lives, incredible lives.
Yeah, the guy started like World War II on this boat.
Not sure exactly who you mean, because there were a couple, but yeah.
Spread a lot of disinformation. But the thing is, that you will hear stories of all sorts, just wandering around and talking to people. And you will talk to people. And to me, it's just incredible that here I am in a tuxedo. By the way, I'm uncomfortable as hell right now, but that's just the way it is. But walking around and being accepted by other people in tuxedos. Now, to me, that normally doesn't mean anything, but I just think it's kind of cool to play dress-up and to play the game for a little bit. I also, I learned something, too. I always thought having a tuxedo would be vastly expensive, and, because when I've been in weddings and had to rent a tuxedo, it always cost a lot of money, so I figured buying a tuxedo would cost a huge amount I couldn't possibly afford. Turns out buying a tuxedo is less than renting a tuxedo. Who knew that? So Kyle and I both online bought a couple of tuxedos, put them together, and here we are.
We own them.
We can go anywhere in these things.
Well, and that speaks volumes. So you really mean it. And I mean, I don't know if I'd wear a tuxedo in space, but when we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Formal night in space. That's going to happen.
That's right. But the point is, the formal wear and suits and that attire, regardless of the brands, you might think it's like a designer this or a custom made that, the finest tailor in New York City, whomever. But what the reality is it's simply a standard of dress. And there's a lot of ways to get to that standard, whether you're talking big fashion houses or just your local tailor. So what we did is we fit the standard. We found something in our sort of price range, something we're comfortable with.
About $100.
Yeah, okay, you don't have to tell them.
I figure people should know. I want to make it accessible.
You talk money that's kind of gauche.
Okay, but it's as cheap really as you can possibly imagine for a tuxedo.
Americans aren't used to that.
I'll give you the website later.
All right, no, that's fine. What?
Oh, no, okay, I won't do that.
Okay.
Ask me in person.
Just to finish, my point is that the thing gets you to a certain level, and you don't have to, there's a lot of ways to get there. And for us, it fit our budget, and we attain that standard. And what that means is you then fit with that set. They're not looking exactly at the brand or this or that or the other thing. They might know, they might not. But once you're fitting that standard, you are among those people. You meet that quality of whatever the entertainment is, whether it's a dinner or a formal a gala or meeting the captain, for instance.
Which we did. We did meet the captain. In fact, we got our picture taken with the captain so we can prove it.
Yeah, we have evidence. And I think he liked us.
Well, I know the chief engineer liked us, and it's not just because we know one chief engineer at USB already. We talked to this guy about the mechanics of the ship and things we were interested in, and he really he talked to us for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, and so that's how we ended up in these fine outfits, and they're not that uncomfortable, but for people that like to be comfortable and to kind of work and do all kinds of grungy, shall I say, labor and you know, our working people, it's unusual. It's not our norm. It's not what we do every day, okay? So
no. And you know, we don't take 7 nights to get to Europe usually if we go there. Usually people expect to spend a few hours to get there, but we thought, why not spend a week where we're not connected to the internet? We could be, but you know what? We don't really feel like spending $25 an hour to be connected via satellite. So we're going to sort of cut ourselves off and take our time, enjoy the scenery. Okay, there's no scenery. It's the ocean. But still, it's cool to look out and realize how damn big the ocean is and how small we are in comparison. And also just to take a moment and marvel at what can be built by humans if they get together. And the QM2... is just one of the most amazing ships ever built. It's got, what, 14 decks? 13 decks, I believe, and can hold something like 2,600 people, which is a good number to be able to hold. Has all kinds of bars and discos and restaurants and just hangouts. So much going on, we couldn't possibly see it all. Right now, we're in our room. It's really nice. Somehow we got upgraded to this princess suite, which is not what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have something much less. I don't know what happened. We looked at our reservation, and all of a sudden it was changed. They had changed it once before. I requested a certain room, and apparently that room wasn't available, so they upgraded to a different room. And then they upgraded yet again, but they didn't really make a big deal of it. I just happened to look at the fine print and realized, hey, we're in the upper 15% instead of the lower 85%. You basically get assigned to a place to have dinner. And the Britannia restaurant holds most of the people, but they have these other more elite places. And I noticed we were suddenly assigned to that, so I wasn't going to argue. And When we looked at this place, it was bigger than what I expected, and had a balcony, and it's just really, really nice. And we wind up going to this place that's a place most people can't go to. Of course, there are places above us too, and now I want to go to those places. There are two-story suites, there are penthouses, there are butlers, there's all kinds of things. But it doesn't have to be crazy expensive. It can be something when you factor it all in. All your meals included, you have accommodations, and you have transport. It actually is a good deal, especially in the winter.
Yes, the message from the Kyle and E Tourism Bureau, this is affordable. This is similar to the kinds of trips we've talked about on trains, where you're on the train for a couple nights, and you know, you get meals and stuff like that included, and it's really not as much. It's comparable. And there really has been a resurgence of this stuff. And yeah, about the upgrade, I would say, yeah, we've someone somewhere realized who we were finally.
Well, the guy, the wine guy, what do you call him?
Sommelier.
Yeah, I think because you use that word, that's why they like you. He said you were famous.
I accept, but I'm a bit demurred.
It just might be the way you carry yourself. I don't know, but we're being treated really nicely.
He might have been joking.
I don't know. No, he seemed very, very sincere.
Okay, well, maybe the queen put in a word when she found out we booked and said, okay, get them in. Or maybe not. The point is, yeah, you know, so here we are in these formal suits, formal attire, and I would say we're the scenery.
Well, yeah, I would say that too, but I'm not sure what other people would say. Hey, could you open the door? I want to step outside for a second, just to show people we have a balcony. You don't have to come outside. I know you don't really like standing next to the ocean as we drive by it.
I just understand what it is, the breadth, the depth. You want to be exposed like that? This is like a spacewalk in my book.
It's like being in space. It really is. But not that we've been in space, but If you watch Star Trek, you know, you're in a spaceship or starship, and you're just constantly in this little bubble of heat and air, and outside is very inhospitable. So we're about to go into the inhospitable part. Yes, please.
You're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna step outside for a second. Well, we shouldn't both step outside. If that door closes and locks on the inside, we're... Okay, I'm just going to...
Okay, I'll see you then.
Yeah, I'll see you, Kyle. Wait a minute. Don't do that again. Fell for that once. You'll hear the sound of the North Atlantic right now. Uh, I mean, it pretty much sounds like that all the time, but it's dark. You just have this sense of vastness. It goes on in every direction forever. And you can't see the horizon. It's just this constant roar of the sea. And in the daytime, it's still the constant roar of the sea, but you can see it at least. The ocean is very big. And I think, you know, just like when we travel across the states, having a sense of what you're traveling across is really important, don't you think?
Yeah, but it's a tux, not a survival suit. Let's go
back inside. We probably shouldn't be outside in a tuxedo. It is nice to be inside, but it's so weird thinking that we're in the middle of the ocean, and here we are in a very nice room in basically a five-star hotel. And I know that sounds really bourgeois, but it's important to you know, to not be crammed in like sardines on an airplane all the time, and to actually relax a little bit, get some work done, you know, talk to other people, meet other people, and
maintain some dignity.
Yeah, dress in tuxedos, all sorts of things like that. We're going to bring you some more recordings from around the boat over the next couple of days, because we have a couple of days to do it. It's just one of these many adventures. It's actually the second time I've been on this very boat. But it's better to be with somebody because you can do more things, and we're exploring a lot more. We just came from a nightclub called G32, right?
Yeah, it's G.
We're going to try to figure out what the G32 means, because we don't understand it ourselves. But there are all kinds of nightclubs and bars. There's a pub. There's restaurants. I mean, we could get food at any time if we wanted to, but I think we've been pretty good.
Yeah, we did a little bit of walking. That's a big deal. A lot of people walk during the day. And frankly, people are really social. It's really interesting. We sit at a table with the same guests, so we get to know them sort of slowly over the course of our trip. But even in the club, we meet, you know, interesting people just plopping down and telling you their story. It's really fascinating. And the crew, the other pastors, everyone's so friendly and just excited to be here. It's that combined with the history, just looking at some of the exhibits and the pictures and descriptions of crossings past, it's really inspiring to know we have a place in history just for this voyage. I think it's one of the 300, and we're a part of it. And that's kind of a cool feeling, knowing that wherever the world is at, whatever's going on, we're making this crossing now, and it's an indelible part of history, for better or worse, but I think for the better, because, you know, we look so good, but whatever.
Well, you know, one thing Cunard seems to really get is history. Because they've been piloting these ships across the Atlantic Ocean for so many years now. If you have a relative who came to the United States from Europe, odds are they came on one of their ships. They were used during the wars, both of them, for all kinds of military things.
I'm curious if my grandfather went and fought and crossed on one of these ships. I want to go look that up now.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been this one, because this one didn't start until 2004. But I know the Queen Elizabeth was used, QE2 actually was used for the Falkland conflict, which is a big waste of time. But regardless, I'm not going to get into that right now. But World War II, World War I, Cunard ships were used to transport thousands and thousands of troops. But in addition to that, just the many, many people, movie stars from the golden era, we're talking the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, just coming one way or another on the ships, and the pictures they have. There's all kinds of displays, museums, things like that on the boat. You can just spend hours just wandering around learning about how this particular boat fits in.
And all sorts of ports, too. You see plaques and different things of basically parts of the world you don't really think of because we're so airport-centric, but ports in New Zealand or in Australia or in Hawaii or wherever, honoring this vessel or anticipating its first arrival, commemorating the moment when their port saw this magnificent ship. And they really all appreciate and acknowledge what it means to be a part of this route or the itinerary and the line that it does, the trips that it makes and the people it carries to and fro wherever it is in the world.
And, you know, you can be a part of this, too, whether or not you get on the actual boat. If you're near Red Hook, Brooklyn, when this thing docks, it's like a huge building suddenly is in the neighborhood. You can see that. You can watch it on the south shore of Long Island as it heads either east or west. It's just a magnificent thing to see. And as Kyle said, it's been all over the world as well. So it really has its place in world history. And just, again, seeing what people can build if they get together. I recommend going on YouTube, looking up Queen Mary II. There's all kinds of documentaries and firsthand accounts. It is truly an awe-inspiring way to travel, to get from one place to another and just be a part of humanity.
Absolutely. And as enthusiasts of all forms of transport and world travel, this is definitely going to be one that goes down as a real high point in our travels and journeys. And who knows what kind of modes and iterations of it will be in the future.
Yeah, and you know, we're in tuxedos, we're on an ocean liner, but you know, we're not a bunch of bourgeois pigs taking advantage or anything like that. We did this on the cheap. And you can, too. It's really an amazing way to see the world. But we're going to take these stupid tuxedos off now and come back to you at a future time in the boat somewhere. I don't know. Where are we now?
So we're still in the room 3 days or 2 days later. I don't know how many days have passed, but a few days. And we've been outside the room. We haven't been in the room the whole time. But we are in the same location that we were recording the last piece. Except it's not as late at night. We haven't had anything to drink, other than water, that is. And we're about to walk around.
Explore. We have left this room periodically, but mostly for meals.
I walked around the deck 15 times yesterday, I'll have you know, on deck 7. Deck 7 is the outdoor deck where you can go around the entire ship. And I just figured, you know, why not get some exercise? Never made it to the gym. Although, deck 7 passes the gym, so you see all the people on Stairmasters and treadmills and things like that. So I passed them, and I realized I was doing more exercise than they were, because every time I passed them, there'd be different people on the treadmill. So I figured they just did a few steps and then got off and went somewhere else or gave up. So I kept going. 5.5 miles. Took about an hour and a half, but it was something. So anyway, we are in the last day of this journey. 7 nights is what it takes. We left on Saturday evening, and we arrive very early Saturday morning. We are just entering the English Channel. We should be pretty soon. You still can't see any land, although we've passed Ireland. I think that was also out of view. We couldn't see that. But, tomorrow morning, bright and early. I don't know if you know this, Kyle, but we have to be up at about 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
So we have to get all our stuff together. And then we go downstairs and we have breakfast, which is kind of cool, because the ship is docked at that point, but nobody gets off. They all hang out for an hour or two, and then everybody leaves. So it's just kind of, fond reminiscence of what we've been through over the past week.
Yeah. While you were walking, actually, I was exercising my mind.
Okay. Well, you know, you can do both when you walk. You can think at the same time. But you were simply thinking?
Oh, no. I just wanted to mention, since we're boasting, I read an entire book.
Well, good for you. Maybe I wrote a book in my head while I was walking. How about that?
Oh, I can't wait to read that, too.
Well, if I feel like writing it down, you will. So anyway, let's get out of this room, walk around a little bit. We're on deck 10. In fact, our room is 10042. You know, it doesn't matter. Why can't people know that? It's not like we're going to go back to it.
Yeah, maybe they'll request it.
Yeah. I want to visit my other room. I have to look it up later, but the room I stayed in when I rode this thing in 2005. And it was the other room that we were supposed to be in on the 11th deck that we somehow got transferred into this other one. It's really weird. And when we got to the room, there was somebody else's name on it, a doctor and his wife. It was very strange to find out the story behind that.
But they corrected us and assured us that the doctor and his wife were taken care of and that we would be replacing them.
Apparently, yeah. So we wound up in a much better place than what we were supposed to be in. Anyway, we're now walking down one of two very long corridors on this deck. Stairway B, deck 10. There are four stairways, A, B, C, and D. Each one has an elevator bank of, I think, six elevators each. So it's like being in a hotel. Where are we going? We want to go downstairs because I want to try and get some pictures. We took a picture with the captain. We took a picture and we got on the boat. You know, it's one of the ways they get you is to have you buy pictures. So let's head down. What level is that?
I think it's a grand lobby is what it's called, right?
And it is a grand lobby. It's like you're in the entrance to a hotel.
There it is. Deck 2.
Deck 2. Okay.
Deck 2.
Okay, let's go in here. Deck 2, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those numbers are wrong. It said 14, 15. We're going down. There is no 15. That was weird. And that's wrong, too. 1, 2, 3. I've never seen an elevator do that. This elevator is very confused.
You think it's going to drop us into the sea?
Well, if it really thinks we're on... Okay, this is deck 2. Let's just get out quickly. Wow. Okay, so that's the main foyer there. Oh, look at the line of people. I think they're waiting to settle their accounts. We'll have to do that later.
Yeah, you can pay cash to settle up your all the charges you made on your room card. But after a certain time, you cannot, and you get charged onto whatever card you had associated with it.
Yeah, when you arrive on the boat, they ask for a credit card that pairs to your room card. And then whenever you get anything in addition to what's already covered, such as alcoholic drinks or any other kind of service, such as spa treatment or other types of things, that just gets added on. And when you check out, I guess you get sticker shock of one sort or another. And also, they add tips onto everything. So a lot of people make the mistake of tipping as they go along, not aware that they're going to be tipping in the end 15% on everything. That's just... there's the pub. I was going to take you to the pub, but, you know, first I think we should... here's the pictures. Okay, there's a Photoshop here, and we're going to try and buy pictures of ourselves. So, first we have to find...
Two dogs.
Two dogs, no. They had their pictures taken, too. I think those are dogs from a previous journey.
We don't know because we weren't introduced to any of the dogs on this journey.
No, we tried to find them, but they were segregated. There's some kind of special deal today. If you buy a certain amount, you get a free picture. I don't know how this machine works. I tried using it yesterday, and you know, you enter your name and your room number, but I couldn't get it to just show us our pictures. It showed me everyone's pictures. I didn't want to have to go through all of them. So I'll enter my name, I guess. That's all correct, right?
Yes.
All right, you continue. Yeah, you see, then they give you all these categories. And it's like you have to weed it out yourself in subcategories. You have to pick a date. It's like, why don't they just know your room number? Those are the pictures that belong to you. A few photos, and then look, there's everybody on the damn boat. So what have you accomplished by entering your name? I don't get this. You have 214 pictures to go through. Actually, that seems like a little fewer than what you would go through with 2,600 people aboard.
Well, not everybody did it, and there's no way for them to have known who you were simply by taking your photo as you walk on.
Then why do they ask for your name and room number, as if that's going to somehow help you find the pictures?
So that they can associate your purchase with you.
Oh, this is for buying it. I see. Okay.
That is why you're here, right?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't... I thought they'd help me find the picture, too. I mean, we have to go through a lot of pictures to find... And the categories...
Well, do you want it with the guy or just us?
Well, here's the thing. They have a deal where you get a free picture if you pay, I think, $90 for pictures in total. So we could get all the pictures, I think, if we pick three.
Okay.
Which, yeah, it's a lot. As is so many things, but it might be worth it.
Related images.
Okay, try that. Related images. There we go. That's us. There. That's all I was asking for. So all five pictures.
That one's really good. That's us on the dance floor.
Okay.
Well, we definitely got to get the one with the captain.
Just get them all. Get all five. What the hell? Just make sure you don't get...
Wait.
Don't get one more than once.
Okay.
Oh, now we have to pick out what kind of picture we want. Well, you're the photographer. You figure it out.
You want digital or prints? Digital might be...
Well, you tell me which is better. It's a choice. You can't get both?
Well, they have different prices for different... Well, they're all basically the same. Photo album is more. But we could get a digital.
Well, click details on digital. Oh, that's a full resolution digital copy. That's the details. Great.
So we can make our own prints.
We can make our own prints. But will we? Okay.
It'd be easier to carry, too, instead of crumpling up something we paid $30 for.
Yeah, we'll have ones and zeros instead. That's our picture with the captain, who we realized has the same expression on every photo he takes.
This is a little bit more expensive, probably because it's with the captain.
It's the captain, yes. But digital has to be the cheapest of all of them, right? How would you get more than one digital photograph of the same picture?
I don't know.
That's an option. You could go, how high can you go? Well, seven is as far down as it went, but there's a more than after that, so you could get probably 100 digital copies. Okay, we muddled through that pretty well. So we pay full price, and then they adjust it, and we pick up the pictures later.
Allegedly.
And what's this? We could upgrade our digital picture to a different kind of...
You owed me something. What? To a thumb disk.
So we're going to get a DVD, and then we can...
No, we're going to get a CD.
We get a CD. You know, does your computer read CDs? Because mine doesn't.
No.
So we have no way of looking at these pictures until we get home.
We can look at the disk.
And let's hope the pictures are on the disk, and then we can upgrade ourselves to a USB drive later.
Yes.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to upgrade myself to a 10-megabyte hard drive. How about that?
Maybe we could ask for legacy media, like you prefer 5-inch floppies or something, 8-inch.
Well, I promised you a beer in the Golden Lion Pub, which we're standing outside of now, in this massive hallway here on deck 3, is it?
2.
Deck 2. So, yeah, let's do that. And then we have to put our jackets on for dinner. Not our tuxes, just our regular jackets.
It's smart attire.
And it's the last time we have to do that, too. Then we can cram it all in the box and ship it back overseas and dress in normal clothes for the rest of the trip.
Yeah, and we're going to be sending a lot of stuff. We're going to send 2 suits each. That's 4 suits total, 2 pairs of shoes. And I got a bunch of clothes that I pack. I always pack too much, and I'm just going to send them back just so that I have a lighter load. We'll have a very full box, hopefully going by surface transport.
Well, you say you pack too much, but compared to so many people around us, you pack very, very light. People walking around not walking around, but they have trunks and just massive suitcases, and it's just incredible. We go very lightly, usually 1 or 2 bags max, and the rest of this trip won't be an exception to that. But with that said, let's go inside, get a beer, and then we'll be ready for dinner in a little bit.
Cool.
Hello.
Let's get something local. A local beer would be good.
The draft beers,
Miguel Estela, Foster's, here in Nevada.
I'll have a Foster's.
Foster's as well.
Foster's.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Here you are.
Thank you.
Nobody left when I ordered a local beer. So we're in the pub getting Foster's, which is not very local, but that should be fine. And we're right by a window.
almost at sea level, so that's kind of neat.
It's strange, though, because we're in a pub, and it feels like a pub. It's got carpeting on the ground. It feels like a British pub.
Mm-hmm.
Carpeting on the ground, British people, sports on the telly.
Overstuffed leather chairs.
Yeah. And the ocean racing by.
Wait, what?
We're sitting right by the ocean.
That's not a normal British pub.
It's not usually, no, but soon we'll see land, and that's going to be exciting.
And by land, you mean lights. We had this discussion the other night.
I thought, yeah.
Because it's dark, the first thing we'd see, as you suggest, probably be city lights, right?
I thought we would see land today, but apparently we're not close enough to see that.
It's really overcast, too.
It's very overcast, foggy even. So I just ordered two beers, and he took the same room card, and that's being added up to that room card along with the pictures. So it all gets tallied up and applied to your credit card in the end. Along with the tip. You're very welcome. You've been buying wine, so it's the least I can do.
I have. I have kept us well plied with the variety. I think reds and whites.
Rosé.
Yeah, we had a rosé one night. Wine's a complex thing, and you know, you've got to be careful with it. You can overdo it. I've overdone it many times.
Well, you kept into these 20-minute conversations with that Somali guy.
Sommelier.
Oh.
No, he's Ukrainian.
I was going to say, because he didn't look Somalian.
No, yeah. That's funny.
Oh.
It's funny you thought that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. They leave you the check thing, and it's just like, you know, in a restaurant where they give you the check in this little leather book with your card sticking out, and there's a, you know, you sign your name, you print your name, and you write your room number, but there's also a line for gratuity, and a lot of people fill that in, thinking they're tipping. Actually, what I've read happens is that any tip is split amongst everybody working. So it's not like you're tipping one particular person. And in the end, when you disembark, you get 15% on everything, including your drinks. So a lot of people inadvertently tip twice. So it's something to be careful of.
Yeah, I think that line on the receipt should be reworded as additional gratuity. Right? I mean, that's fair.
That would be fair, and I think you've explained why they're not going to do that. Because, you know, you can be nickeled and dimed or maybe dollared and whatever's above that to death in a situation like this. Or you can do it smart.
Pence and pound.
Yeah, but pence is so minimal.
Terrible vice president.
Oh, yeah. But, no, it can add up very, very quickly if you're not careful. And if you are careful, it can be really, really cheap. Anyway, cheers. Oh dear. I see what looks like a singer getting onto a stage, which means that this pleasant conversation will be cut short.
It's just a woman on an iPad. There's nothing you should be worried about.
I've seen so many musicians on this boat. Well, we've seen jazz, we've seen all kinds of violin concertos, classical pieces, and everybody has what looks like an iPad in lieu of music. You know, instead of having a book of music, they simply slap an iPad onto the piano or whatever instrument they're playing. And
I saw one of the guys using it to tune his guitar.
I still don't know how that works.
Well, he would, like, you know, play notes, and the iPad would tell visually, like A1, G2, D2, B1, you know, all the, as he was tuning it, it would kind of change back and forth and tell him what key he was in.
See, I would say if you don't know how to do that, you're not really a musician, but then I'm not a musician at all, so I don't know if I have the right to even say that. As a hush falls over the entire bar.
I don't know if that's what it's all about. Like, okay, a piano player doesn't necessarily tune the piano. You have a piano tuner tune the piano, right?
True, but
so does that make the piano player less of a piano player?
A piano tuner doesn't come on stage if you're about to perform. You have to do that yourself. Well, not a piano. That's a bad example. Guitar, you know, you're tuning your guitar. Well, you don't have a guy come over and say, hey, I'll take care of that for you.
No, but what
they've used in the past, and this is why I think they're using iPads now, is you'd have like a specific device that you bought to help you tune your guitar. Now you just use the iPad, the same thing that all your music is in.
I suppose.
It's replacing the job of countless guitar tuners. At this point, everyone will have to pay the license fee to hear any music.
Probably true.
Because, well, we have to honor the ambiance, and nothing is free.
No, no, it's certainly true. There are a lot of free things. Well, not free, but, you know, it's included in the price of your passage. But there are so many other things. Yeah, the laundry was free. We just did laundry today. And there's little laundromats all throughout the ship. You have to know where to find them. And there's usually three washers and three dryers. Sometimes there's four. And if it's available, which it usually is not, we got very lucky today, you just throw your clothes in, the soap is there, and then you throw them in the dryer, you're done. Simple as that.
It's good to have clean stuff when you switch locations or venues, accommodations.
So, you know, the prices aren't bad. The two beers cost us $13.80. That's what you'd pay in a bar. So I'm not really, you know, but you can buy very expensive things. Like that $120 drink that was offered to us. You know, things like that can really add up.
Yeah, they have, like, you know, top shelf digestifs and cognacs and all these, you know, fancy things to go with your journey. But that stuff matches the level of service and the sort of accommodations you're in. I mean, we're talking about fine dining and all that, so of course you're going to have all the refreshments to go with it.
But the fine dining is included, which is really cool.
Yeah, and we were able to get things like sparkling water for basically what you would pay in New York. I heard someone complaining about espresso being expensive, and they were going through the prices, and honestly, it didn't sound like much more than what you'd pay at, like, a commercial, you know, Starbucks or whatever, you know, getting bean juice squirted into a paper cup. So I can't really balk at, you know, a $4 cappuccino, whatever it worked out to be.
Yeah. You know, it's really easy to forget that you're on a boat sometimes when you're sitting in a pub and watching sports on TV. It's, you know, and we're watching a basketball game on TNT, although it's on a channel called Sport 2 or something. I can't make that out. And I just, what time is it now, Kyle? Here.
My watch has a nearly quarter to six.
So if it's a quarter to six here, and I'm watching LA Lakers at Houston.
I can tell you. I can tell you, it's 12:42 in New York, so that's 3 hours ahead. If it's what, Houston? No, 2 hours.
Well, I can tell you now, it's 11:42 in the morning in Houston. If it's 12:42 in the morning, or 12:42 in the afternoon in New York, and it's a Friday, so I don't think any basketball game is being played now.
11:42 in the morning. So yeah, it must be a re-airing of like last night's game or something.
So you're on this boat, and it's kind of weird because life's not as real as you think it is. The game that everybody's watching already happened, and you know, we're kind of in the middle of the ocean. Well, not anymore, but we were. We're coming up to you know, to land. But still, it's just weird how you forget these things. You just sort of take it in and say, yeah, this is what's happening, and it's
it's really not what's happening.
Well, part of it is the travel aspect, the being in the Atlantic, the remoteness of it all. You are on a delay a bit. You feel that. You know, the newspaper and printouts you get of what's going on in the world and these kinds of bits of information are basically relayed and, you know, compiled and packaged for the ship, and it's just, it's not the same. It's not the same connectivity and immediacy, which is okay, but even the slight delay, I guess, people appreciate because they can, you know, catch up with whatever happened or what is going on.
Well, there have been a lot of Champions League games that have been broadcast, and, you know, I've seen was a Real Madrid Tottenham Hotspur game at least four or five different times being played in different parts of the ship, and people watching it, even though you already know what happened, or at least on the boat you know what happened, and in Europe, of course. Back in the States, probably a lot of that doesn't make any sense, but it's just, you kind of get caught up in something being displayed that isn't necessarily relevant, but still interesting. Now, the news is an exception because we have four live news channels. We have BBC World News. We have Sky News, which, by the way, is so much better than I thought it was. I thought since, you know, they're affiliated with Fox, they would be like Fox, but they're not. They're a lot more fair, a lot more balanced, which, you know, Fox claims to be. Of course, we also get Fox, which is as bad as I remember it. And then MSNBC International, which I didn't even know was a thing. And really, I think the only difference is that instead of commercials, they play temperatures in different parts of the world. And that comes from the Weather Channel. So when there's a commercial, MSNBC International, which is what they call themselves during those commercials, simply switches to temperatures worldwide, and you see a Weather Channel icon there. That's really it, as opposed to CNN International, which actually is a whole different channel, which does all sorts of different things.
A lot of them also sub in network advertisements, so they'll just play promos for their own network. And it's sort of interesting, because it's stuff you don't normally see, or you'd have to really be a devotee of MSNBC to have caught some of their different campaigns for their channel or what's going on there. Similar to like the CNN banana and Apple ads and stuff.
Unfortunately, we don't get CNN at all, which surprised me. I thought for sure we'd get that. So we've been kind of forced watching MSNBC and Fox if we want anything domestic. But as I said, Sky News is not bad. It's interesting. It's weird, though, because a lot of their live broadcasts seem to be outside. So you always hear people in the streets of London shouting as they pass by, where I assume everybody knows the Sky News people are, and I intend to find out too when we get to London. Of course, BBC is BBC, so that's nice as well. It's better than the last time I went over, because I remember we lost all TV reception for a number of days, and this way we can actually keep track of what's going on in the world. The other way I keep track of what's going on in the world, I turn my phone on a couple of times a day. It's actually on all the time, but in airplane mode, just so I can see the time by minutes, because it remains so far in New York time. But when I switch the airplane mode off, it interacts with the ship, and I'm able to get SMS messages, which includes news and Trump tweets and things like that. So that happens a few times a day, and for me that's free to receive messages, but it wouldn't be free if I got a phone call, even if it went to voicemail, because hey, they charge you for the transfer to voicemail, and at ship's rates that would be a pretty staggering sum. So we keep in touch in those ways, and of course by talking to people too. There's been a lot of talk of Brexit. That's something that's been happening. Theresa May basically going all over the place trying to get this Brexit deal to go through, and not meeting with much success. So it's kind of an historic time for England, and this being an English ship filled with English people, it's particularly apropos.
People seem a little like, I guess, nonplussed, apoplectic, apathetic. They just seem like it's a normal, yeah, you know, it'll sort it out and all that. There's not a lot of hubbub. I don't think
people are really all that concerned about it. They just figure, I don't know, I just don't see a lot of, like, divisiveness in the way that in the States now you can kind of gauge one or the other political party in an instant when, you know, you're among other individuals. It just seems that maybe, I don't know, everyone's kind of keeping to themselves about the politics of it and then, again, letting it sort itself out.
Isn't that similar, though, to the Amtrak trip you took? Because you were interacting with a lot of people on that, and I think they were kind of keeping the politics out of it as well, weren't they?
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe it's because of the polite company and the travel aspect or the tight quarters and so on. Although, it did come out, there would be little moments in some of those conversations where I knew where people were angling. And the other thing is, I mean, even in Washington, I kind of knew the lion's share of the people, you know, would be in one way or the other. You could tell there's signs and symbols, and, you know, oh, I'm going here, or I work there, or I, you know, people wear their beliefs on their shoulder in the States. They really do. And as you know, we've done radio and we talk a lot. We talk to a lot of different people in the course of our work and going to events and so on and running events and that. And it just really kind of, I think, gives you this ability to see that stuff like a mile away.
That's true. That said, we haven't seen any MAGA hats on board, so that's always a good sign.
I saw a U.S. Army hat.
Okay, that's not the same thing, not even close.
Yeah, it isn't.
On a trip to Sears, my soul.